right. Awesome. These mics are so cool. I'm always kind of like nervous I'm going to break it or something. But I do feel like an airplane pilot when I wear these. But yeah, so thank you, Pastor Aaron, for those words. That was really, really awesome. And a bonus, I didn't know I was getting that. But yeah, my name is Joshua Gray. I'm an MK. Pastor Tim already mentioned I grew up in Africa in two countries called Burkina Faso and later to Niger. My parents currently serve in the country of Niger, and they're teachers, teaching missionary kids and furthering the kingdom. So I'm really proud of them. And I'm not just saying that because they're watching, but no, I really would not be the same person without them. So yeah, I'm a student at TFC. This is my fourth semester, so I'm doing my sophomore year, and I'm studying interpersonal communication and Bible and theology, so I'm hoping both those skills will come through for me today. Yeah, I do want to say I haven't been here in a while, just due to some personal convictions. I probably won't be attending in person regularly, but just know that I'm with you guys online, and I'll be most of the time behind that camera with you guys. So, and hopefully as the pandemic comes to a close, we can be with you guys more regularly. So yeah, I'm going to go ahead and pray again because I don't think there's such thing as too much prayer. So dear Lord, I do thank you so much for today, and we thank you for your word and for your church. And I just pray that all these things would work together to just further your kingdom and to just bring your presence here, Lord. And yeah, I pray for nervousness on my part, that you'd help me to stay calm and to just be confident, and give me your spirit. And I pray for the ears that are hearing, and we pray all these things in your name. Amen. So I've got some handouts that a few volunteers are going to hand out. You guys can go ahead and get started with that. Yeah, thank you guys for doing that too, by the way. This is something my dad does when he preaches, and he kind of lays them out the same way, and I'm experimenting. I've never used these before, but once you open it up, this side is going to be just the text that we're reading from. You can read from your preferred translation if you want. I've got the ESV here, and then just sort of some stuff to follow along. And then the reason I really did this was for the back. I'm speaking on James, and James is really applicational and practical. And so I've just got some reflection questions that I'd really like and encourage you guys to look at and think about, you know, this week. So yeah, thank you guys for doing that. I, you know, as I write papers, I always write in Times New Roman, you know, because we have to. It's the standard. But with stuff like this, you kind of get to, like, do what you want, you know, with the fonts. But I'm so used to Times New Roman, I was, like, a little scared to do anything else. But I was looking at Microsoft Word, and there's, like, 500 options, and it's, like, overwhelming. And the one that I chose, it might look a little bland, but it's called Arial Hebrew Scholar. So I think that's pretty appropriate. So, yeah. Yeah, so I'm going to just go ahead and read the first 15 verses of James. If you want to turn there in your Bibles, or you have it in your handout there on the column on the left on the inside. But it goes, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes of the dispersion, greetings. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation, and the rich in his humiliation, because, like a flower of the grass, he will pass away. For the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the grass. Its flower falls, and its beauty perishes. So also will the rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuit. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. So I'm going to stop there. But the whole book of James is awesome and worth a read. So if you have some time, I'd encourage you to read through the rest of it. But so James is writing. It's one of the older, probably, and nobody really knows, but it might be the oldest of the New Testament books. This is James, the half-brother of Jesus, not one of the 12, not the Peter, James, and John in a sailboat, you know that song. So this is James, his half-brother, and he's speaking on to the Jews. And so these are people that have heard and grown up reading and memorizing the scriptures, and so he already can assume that they have a good theological base understanding, and so he's able to just go ahead and hammer them. And he really does with just like, this is what you got to do, and this is how it is, you know. I love how straightforward James is. And he definitely, especially in chapter 2, he gets really into it. But I appreciate that, because sometimes I need to be hit over the head like, hey, you know, what are you doing? And so I think that helps with us too, especially kind of in a Bible Belt context. We grow up reading the scriptures, and we grew up in the church, and we're familiar with the church and some theology. And so James is just a great reminder of some of the things that we might lose track of. So what I want to focus on is verses 2-4 is kind of our benchmark. This is kind of the standard, the goal of what we're trying to think about today and what we're trying to do. And that is being steadfast, or counting joy in trials, being steadfast through our trials. And in your handout, you'll notice I called it thinking biblically. And that's sort of the takeaway I want us to think about today as we consider the various trials that we have in our lives. The use of the word trials, I don't know what your translation says, but it can mean, you know, temptations. It can mean suffering, persecution, or trials, various kinds. So really, whenever you're just going through something tough, this passage applies to you, and this message should hopefully apply to you as well. We'll move to our first point of thinking about faith and perseverance. It's really cool. I think First Peter reads very much like James, especially the first chapter. There's a lot of parallels in the first chapter of First Peter and the first chapter of James. So if this first 2-4 seem really crazy and a little like, well, how are you supposed to be joyful in trials? First Peter also reaffirms this idea. And so I think when scripture is repeating itself like that, you know, I think it means, hey, let's pay attention a little bit. We're trying to think biblically as we go through our trials, or even thinking about our past trials. We can think about how we thought biblically or may have not thought biblically or persevered. The first thing I really want to talk about this is just like bringing your concerns to God. You know, just verse 5 is like, ask for wisdom, right? God kind of knows who you are. You know, he knows the number of hairs on your head. So, you know, he's aware of your various issues and feelings towards the issues. And so just be honest. There's no reason not to be honest with God. And I think, unfortunately, we often tell ourselves, oh, you know, I don't really want to bring it up to God. But I think we often fool ourselves and lie to ourselves. And maybe it's even spiritual warfare that convinces us that we don't need to bring it to God and that we can work it out by ourselves. And I'd really encourage you not to think along those lines. And then secondly, let's move on to the think humility. And that's another step in leading to thinking biblically through trials. Think humility. And James does jump quite frequently to new themes. And so if I jump around a little bit, no, I'm trying to keep up with James as I present. So James, very quickly in verse 9, he like goes on to thinking, talking about humility and lowering ourselves if we're rich, and if we're like already low, be brought up. It's a little confusing. But I think that even though he's jumping themes right now, I still think it all works together. This whole passage works together to kind of bring back the argument to verses 2 through 4. That's our standard. That's our benchmark. That's what we're trying to accomplish this morning, and what James is trying to accomplish by writing this. Right? I think humility is required. You'll see that in your handout. Humility is required for perseverance. Because the moment we decide we can do it ourselves is the moment we say, like we were mentioning already, like, I don't need the Lord. I got it. And so I'm going to argue that there is no such thing as faith and pride. It's two conflicting forces, right? We only can serve one master. We can't serve two masters. And if you have any pride, it will keep you from truly living out your faith. And just know, like, I need this just as much as you guys. So if it sounds like I'm preaching to you all, you know, I'm preaching to me too. So I definitely need some humbling sometimes. I don't have to laugh. I think it can be a little overwhelming, like this whole, like what I've already said up to this point might be a little overwhelming. But I want to remind you guys of the passage in Mark 9 where Jesus is being confronted by an official whose son is really ill and is terrified, and he's like asking Jesus for healing for his son, and Jesus is just like, hey, you know, do you believe? And he's like, yes, Jesus, I believe, but help me in my unbelief. And I think I pray this prayer all the time, and I think it's okay to pray this prayer all the time. And so when you read phrases like having no doubts, don't be afraid. You know, it's okay. And Jesus is, you know, understood where he was coming from. The other thing I want us to keep in mind is in thinking eternal is that our hope is eternal, right? Our trials are not eternal, but our hope is eternal. And so God is so much bigger than the various trials that James is speaking about and the various trials that are in your lives. And so I do want to encourage you, as we're trying to think biblically and trying to persevere in our trials, to think about times where the Lord has delivered you. I think that really helps us put into perspective, the Lord has gotten me through this one thing, and he can do it again. And I think, again, you know, the heart is deceitful above all things, and in the midst of suffering and trials, it's really easy to get to be lied to and to be convinced of crazy things, but the truth of the matter is sometimes we convince ourselves very easily that even though God has pulled through for us before, maybe this time's a little different, or maybe we're so afraid this time that, you know, we're unable to think rationally, and so we begin to get anxious and fearful. And so, you know, bring that before the Lord. Like I mentioned earlier, it's you know, God already knows how you're feeling about a certain situation. So just be honest. Yeah, it's such a freeing experience to just be like, God, I don't believe right now. And it might be scary, but God knows where your heart is at. And so keep that in mind. This really helps me too, because I'll give you a little bit of my testimony. My sophomore year of high school, my parents took a very unexpected furlough to deal with a few family issues. And it was really tough for me because I had really had my heart set on going to boarding school, which I ended up getting to do. The boarding school is the one in Niger that my parents are now working at. But at that time, I was so convinced that boarding school was where I was supposed to be, that I couldn't believe that we were taking a furlough and spending a whole school year in Massachusetts. It just totally blew my mind, and I thought they were so selfish. And really, the Lord, in the midst of my frustrations and my, I'll call it a trial, because at the time I was just so angry with the Lord, God really used it. And God really showed me how selfish I was in the midst of thinking that my parents were the selfish ones. And so Our past experiences all work together to bring us into that perfect and complete lacking in nothing that James talks about in verse 4. And just to expound on that verse, actually, we, from the moment of our salvation, from the moment of our conversion, I should say, our salvation is not finished, right? We talk about this in theology a lot, and it's sort of a continuous process, right? God, in the midst of our lives, in the midst of our trials, he's giving us opportunities to become more perfect and complete. A commentator that I read mentioned maybe not putting perfect there would be a great word, but it might be more appropriate to use the word mature. And so we're continuously being more matured and more perfect and more complete until the day of our restoration after we pass. So just think about that too as we go. Our faith is an opportunity. Our struggles are an opportunity to show our faith. And in the same way, as we move on to point number four of thinking sacrifice, we and our struggles can be encouragement to other people. That's like my biggest takeaway from reading the Old Testament and seeing how like God showed up for the Israelites again and again and again, all throughout Scripture. I love history, and through my time at TFC, I've really enjoyed to love it more, or I've become to love it more, more and more as I go. And one of my favorite church history figures is St. Augustine, and he has a book called The Confessions. It's one of his more famous books, and it sort of reads like an autobiography of his conversion story and his life. And in it, he talks about having read his mother was a very great believer and a woman of great faith. And despite that, he grows up and in his early adult years really just gives in to his fleshly desires and really makes a wreck of his early adulthood. But in the midst, and one day he's just broken and he's feeling so convicted about how he's like made a wreck of his life up to this point. He's sobbing, and the Lord comes through in his brokenness and says to him, he hears a voice as if it's like from his next door neighbor, says, pick up and read. And he reads and he continues sobbing, and it's just so cool. And he reads some of Romans 13, which talks directly about what he's been struggling with up to that point of just putting away our fleshly desires. And stories like that just really get me excited. And so I'd encourage you to study more scripture and to study narratives where God is just coming through, or study church history where God just totally changes our lives. But also in the same way, other people's stories, you know, historical and present day figures, can also help us. I had a family member this summer who was really struggling with some mental health issues. And I'm very close to this family member, and it was really, really tough to not be there for this family member. But in the midst of it, the spouse of this family member, who's also related to me, but I'm trying to keep the name anonymous, was also faithful in the midst of this just crazy situation. I mean, this summer was just sort of wild with all the riots and the pandemic, and now our family member who's really wasn't doing well at this point. But my family, the spouse of the person struggling, was really just able to encourage me in the midst of it, which is crazy because I'm not the one married to the person, and so it just really touched me to hear how she was being steadfast and being able to give it to the Lord. It really meant so much to me. And so I encourage you to think about that as you are suffering through trials, right? I think we convince ourselves, like I keep bringing up lies that we talk about and we convince ourselves of, because I think it's so prevalent, and I think it'd be wrong to not talk about lies that we convince ourselves of. But we convince ourselves of the lie of, you know, if I talk about my problems, they're going to judge me. They're not going to get it. They don't understand. I can give you a passage in 1 Corinthians 10 that tells you that lie is false, right? There is no sin that is not common to mankind, and God knows what you can what you can bear. And so keep that in mind as you are suffering. Your suffering can be an opportunity for your maturity, but it also can be an encouragement for someone else's maturity. And so I might even go as far to say, not being vulnerable and opening up to other people is a little selfish. And that's a little, I mean, I know that's kind of a big thing, a statement that I'm making, but I really do believe that. Finally, we'll move on to think responsibility. And that's kind of coming from verses 13 through 15. right after God, James is promising us this crown of life, he reminds us that God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. And so I think we also, again, another lie that we convince ourselves of is that God's got it, like God put us here. And sometimes that may be true, but if you're struggling with a temptation, we need to own up to it. And it's important not to blame God or blame others for your situation, and to really understand maybe and take some time in reflection this week to think about how you have dealt with and how you have handled your suffering. Finally, we want to think doers of the word. That's what James is going to go on to say later on in the passage, because James is so practical and applicational. He encourages us to not just hear the word and go on with our day, but to be doers of the word and let the word actually transform who we are. And another historical figure that I love that really is a doer of the word and that perseveres through trials is William Carey. He's probably one of my favorite missionaries other than my parents. We'll just say my favorite dead missionary. He moved to India in the late 1800s and was like just this really genius guy, knew several languages and worked in translation work. And he brought a printing press out to India and began printing out like hundreds of thousands of Bibles. I actually don't know if hundreds of thousands is accurate, but he was printing out a lot of Bibles and doing great, awesome ministry. But in the midst of this, he lost a son of only 5 years old to dysentery, and his first wife actually really struggled with some mental health things and actually threatened him with a knife and ended up dying in an asylum a few years later. He got married again, and his second wife also passed away after about 10 years. And so he's just, you know, been through so much. But in the midst of that, he was still able to do the work of God. And if that's not, you know, encouraging, I don't know what is. But Christianity Today says his greatest legacy was in the worldwide missionary movement of the 19th century that he inspired. Missionaries like Adoniram Judson, I always say his name wrong, Hudson Taylor, and David Livingston, amongst thousands of others, were impressed not only with Carey's example, but by his words. I really love Christianity Today, but yeah, he really did a whole lot in encouraging and inspiring other missionaries to be great as well. And unfortunately, God has to use trials, or God does use trials, in order to bring that about. So let's be doers of the word this week and this in our lives, thinking biblically through trials. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Josh. Could we have the worship team go ahead and come forward?